The Knocking at the Door. Appendix. A partial compilation of Ellen White's statements on unconscious sin. Sin is in us before revealed to consciousness. The Lord places us in different positions to develop us. If we have defects of character of which we are not aware, He gives us discipline that will bring those defects to our knowledge, that we may overcome them. It is His providence that brings us into varying circumstances. In each new position, we meet a different class of temptations. How many times, when we are placed in some trying situation, we think, "This is a wonderful mistake. How I wish I had stayed where I was before." But why is it that you are not satisfied? It is because your circumstances have served to bring new defects in your character to your notice. But nothing is revealed but that which was in you. Self-deception lurks in chamber of the mind. God's law is the test of our actions. His eye sees every act, searches every chamber of the mind, detecting all lurking self-deception and all hypocrisy. All things are naked and open to the sight of Him with whom we have to do. Peter's problem with unconscious sin also ours. The work of restoration can never be thorough unless the roots of evil are reached. Again and again the shoots have been clipped, while the root of bitterness has been left to spring up and defile many. But the very depth of the hidden evil must be reached, the moral senses must be judged, and judged again, in the light of the divine presence. The daily life will testify whether or not the work is genuine. When the third time, Christ said to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" the probe reached the soul center. Self-judged, Peter fell upon the rock. The Laodicean message and unconscious sin. The Laodicean message must be proclaimed with power, for now it is especially applicable. Not to see our own deformity is not to see the beauty of Christ's character. When we are fully awake to our own sinfulness, we shall appreciate Christ. Not to see the marked contrast between Christ and ourselves is not to know ourselves. He who does not abhor himself cannot understand the meaning of redemption. There are many who do not see themselves in the light of the law of God. They do not loathe selfishness. Therefore they are selfish. Unconscious tendencies to wrong are Laodicea's problem. The message to the Laodicean church reveals our condition as a people. Satan is seeking with all his subtlety to corrupt mind and heart, and oh how successful he is in leading men and women to depart from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Under his influence hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong are roused into activity. Ministers and church members are in danger of allowing self to take the throne. If they would see their defective, distorted characters as they are accurately reflected in the mirror of God's word, they would be so alarmed that they would fall upon their faces before God in contrition of soul, and tear away the rags of their self-righteousness. When unconscious sin becomes conscious too late, those on the left hand of Christ, those who had neglected Him in the person of the poor and the suffering, were unconscious of their guilt. Satan had blinded them. They had not perceived what they owed to their brethren. They had been self-absorbed, and cared not for others' needs. Moral machinery of the heart is hidden. To men who God designs shall fill responsible positions, He in mercy reveals their hidden defects, that they may look within and examine critically the complicated emotions and exercises of their own hearts, and detect that which is wrong. God would have His servants become acquainted with the moral machinery of their own hearts. Unconscious sin fully conscious at the end. Zechariah's vision of Joshua and the angel applies with peculiar force to the experience of God's people in the closing up of the great day of atonement. As Joshua was pleading with the angel, so the remnant church, with brokenness of heart and earnest faith, will plead for pardon and deliverance through Jesus their advocate. They are fully conscious of the sinfulness of their lives. They see their weakness and unworthiness. Sanctuary service is a type of removing unconscious sin from mind of man. The blood of Christ, while it was to release the repentant sinner from the condemnation of the law, was not to cancel the sin. It would stand on record in the sanctuary until the final atonement. So in the type the blood of the sin offering removed the sin from the penitent, but it rested in the sanctuary until the day of atonement. In the great day of final award, the sins of all the truly penitent will be blotted from the books of heaven. Thus the sanctuary will be freed, or cleansed, from the record of sin. In the type, this great work of atonement or blotting out of sins was represented by the services of the Day of Atonement. As in the final atonement the sins of the truly penitent are to be blotted from the records of heaven, no more to be remembered or come into mind, so in the type they were borne away into the wilderness, forever separated from the congregation. Satan endeavored to force upon Jacob a sense of his guilt, in order to discourage him and break his hold upon God. The heavenly messenger, in order to try his faith, also reminded him of his sin and endeavored to escape from him. So in the time of trouble, if the people of God had unconfessed sins to appear before them while tortured with fear and anguish, they would be overwhelmed. Despair would cut off their faith, and they could not have confidence to plead with God for deliverance. But while they have a deep sense of their unworthiness, they will have no concealed wrongs to reveal. Their sins will have been blotted out by the atoning blood of Christ, and they cannot bring them to remembrance. Unknown chapters in regard to ourselves. The bitterness of grief and humiliation is better than the indulgences of sin. Through affliction God reveals to us the plague spots in our characters, that by His grace we may overcome our faults. Unknown chapters in regard to ourselves are open to us, and the test comes, whether we will accept the reproof and the counsel of God. The crucifixion of Christ is man's unconscious sin. In the day of final judgment, every lost soul will understand the nature of his own rejection of truth. The cross will be presented, and its real bearing will be seen by every mind that has been blinded by transgression. Before the vision of Calvary with its mysterious victim, sinners will stand condemned. Every lying excuse will be swept away. Human apostasy will appear in its heinous character. Men will see what their choice has been. When the thoughts of all hearts shall be revealed, both the loyal and the rebellious will unite in declaring, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." How the unconscious mind operated in the crucifixion of Christ. Believers and unbelievers will fall into line as witnesses to confirm truth that they themselves do not comprehend. All will cooperate in accomplishing the purposes of God, just as did Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, and Herod. In putting Christ to death, the priests thought they were carrying out their own purposes, but unconsciously and unintentionally they were fulfilling the purpose of God. The judgment discloses the hidden content of the unconscious mind. The record of past days will make its disclosure of the vanity of human inventions, by which men have excused themselves for neglecting the claims of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal faults and defects of character that ought to have been discerned and corrected. The time is near when the inner life will be fully revealed. All will behold, as if reflected in a mirror, the working of the hidden springs of motive. The Lord would have you now examine your own life, and see how stands your record with Him. Sin is hidden in the heart. The heart is the treasure house of sin. Not being expelled, it is hidden until an hour of opportunity, and then it is revealed, and springs into action.